It's philosophy talk.
Hey, nani, nani, talking. Hey, nani, nani.
Othello, Shylock, Caliban.
Do Shakespeare's plays reveal the prejudices of his time?
Or do they reinforce those prejudices?
Oh, this play does seem dope to me, Martensia.
Verily, Lashania, verily!
Was Shakespeare peddling in negative stereotypes, or was he challenging them?
Tis about time Shakespeare doth scriven the play that places a brother amongst the firmament.
Woo!
What does it mean to be an outsider in Shakespeare's plays?
Ideal white characters versus less than ideal.
Our guest is David Sterling Brown, author of Shakespeare's White Others.
With white otherness, it's not just a figure like Othello that has to negotiate what I call the intra-racial color line.
Methinks things are looking up for people of the darker hue.
Damn straight!
Shakespeare's Outsiders. Coming up on Philosophy Talk. How does Shakespeare deal with race, gender, and disability?
Do his plays reveal deep truths about identity and status?
Or are they just old-timey soap operas?
This is Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence. I'm Ray Briggs.
And I'm Adrian Dobbs, sitting in for Josh Landy. We're coming to you from the Stanford Humanities Center.
Continuing conversations that begin at Philosopher's Corner, where I teach philosophy and Adrian teaches comparative literature. Adrian's been a guest on the show many times, and I'm very grateful that today he's stepping in as co-host.
My pleasure, and many thanks to the Humanities Center for sponsoring today's event.
Welcome, everyone, to Philosophy Talk. Today, we're thinking about Shakespeare's outsiders.
You know, Ray, I find Shakespeare's outsiders more interesting than his heroes, right? If you think of Othello, Shylock, Caliban...
I don't know. I think that Shakespeare is really unfair to those characters. Look, Othello is violent and jealous. Shylock is vengeful and greedy. Caliban is primitive and mean. These guys are basically racist stereotypes.
Okay, now I think you're being a little unfair to Shakespeare. Audiences have a ton of empathy for these characters. There's a reason they're iconic, right? How many people remember King Henry VI? He's pretty boring in comparison.
Oh yeah, they're memorable, all right, but I wouldn't say they're exactly sympathetic. I mean, I wouldn't want to be remembered as the most bloodthirsty and evil person in my department.
Okay, so full disclosure, I've been described that way, and I take offense, but look, more seriously, an interesting play requires drama. We do like our antiheroes, and who'd want to see a play where good people do good things and then get praised for it?
Look, I'm not complaining that they're insufficiently nice. I am complaining that they are stereotypes. Look, Macbeth is a horrible homicidal maniac, but it's not because he's Scottish. Yeah, he's very flawed, but he still gets to be a whole person.
Well, perhaps Shylock isn't as stereotypical as you think. Has he not eyes? Hands? If you prick him, does he not bleed? Shakespeare isn't just recycling the prejudices of his time. He's reflecting on them, and he makes you empathize with someone like Shylock, which, you know, last time I checked, is not the most bigoted thing to do.
Oh, okay, so Shakespeare makes you empathize with Shylock, but he's still basically a stereotype of a greedy Jew. Giving your anti-Semitic stereotype feelings doesn't really absolve you of the anti-Semitism.
Okay, I'll agree with Shylock, but he's just one character out of, what, 1,223, give or take a herald?
So what, Shakespeare has great Jewish representation in his other plays? What do we have, Rosenberg and Guildenstern? Do we have two gentlemen of Brooklyn?
Okay, but he's maybe not thinking about difference in exactly the same terms we are today. It's maybe not just black and white, Jewish versus Christian, male versus female. It's about all kinds of diversity.
Oh yeah, I forgot his really sensitive disability representation in Richard III. The guy who's so deformed that dogs bark at me as I halt by them, who decides to be a villain because of that. It's just another terrible stereotype. How is it any different from the comic book trope of the guy who is missing a hand and is therefore the evil one?
Okay, but counterexample, Shakespeare is pretty sensitive in his treatment of mental illness. Hamlet and King Lear are tragic heroes, right? They're at the center of their own story. Shakespeare takes tons of time exploring their psychology in real depth, and he never really asks the audience to judge them.
Yeah, but the audience does judge them. Hamlet's tortured inner life results in this huge body count, and Lear's madness destroys his whole family. These guys are not role models.
Okay, but why do they have to be role models? People weren't going to the Globe to learn how to behave. They were going to have a good time, to be entertained.
Oh, come on, it's just not just entertainment. It's serious art. It is literally Shakespearean tragedy.
Okay, that just proves my point. Tragedy is about that. It's about flawed individuals making a gigantic mess of things. It's not about nice people doing reasonable things for 3 hours.
Yeah, but audiences still learn things from the entertainment they're consuming. And Shakespeare was teaching his audiences to have bigoted attitudes.
Okay, so I'd wager that they were already bigoted. They probably came in with a bunch of simplistic stereotypes, and at best, Shakespeare was able to give them nuanced characters and complex storylines that complicated those.
I feel like nuanced and complex bigotry is still problematic.
Well, maybe our guest will change your mind. It's David Sterling Brown, author of Shakespeare's White Others, and he'll be joining us shortly.
But first, since we've only been talking about Shakespeare's male characters so far, how did he think about female characters? We sent our roving philosophical reporter, Holly J. McDeed, to find out. She files this report.
All that is great in me might be made little by a word, but I will spin you a tale that brings you in again. For every oar.
That's Nell's Ode by poet Elizabeth Sylvia from her collection None But Witches, Poems on Shakespeare's Women. It's inspired by the character Nell from Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors.
I am swart as the earth's crust, soot as the banked embers.
Nell, a kitchen maid, is married to one of a pair of twins separated at birth. She mistakes the twin she's not married to for her husband.
He thinks he's been, like, trapped by witchcraft, and he and his boss, who is also a secret twin, by the way, do a 3-page takedown of Nell.
Nell is never even on stage.
She's fat, she's sweaty, she's smelly, she's dark. They compare her to a globe and her body parts to various countries.
Sylvia's poem is a response on Nell's behalf.
As if you ever could stop burying in me desires that I raise in you.
In Sylvia's collection, published by 3 Mile Harbor Press, the women of Shakespeare unleashed their pain, sorrow, and might. The project emerged after Sylvia made a New Year's resolution to read all of Shakespeare's plays in a year. For the record, it took 2. Just a few plays in, she was pretty disturbed.
Like, I was just so angry at what was happening to the female characters, especially in these early plays, which a lot of people don't read, are really, they're just super violent anyway, but they're particularly violent towards women, I think.
Die, die, Lavinia, and thy shame with thee.
What hast thou done? Unnatural and unkind.
Sylvia thinks mothers in Shakespeare have it especially bad.
I'm seeing play after play after play in which if you have a kid, that kid is killed, and you spend the rest of the play like basically walking back and forth in the at the back of the stage, hoping someone will pay attention to you as you try to express how completely destroyed you've been by this death.
But you can scrutinize how Shakespeare portrays people and still appreciate his work. To love Shakespeare is to know him, argues Farah Kareem Cooper, a professor of Shakespeare Studies at King's College London and co-director of education at Shakespeare's Globe.
In order for us to keep Shakespeare around, he's got to be more accessible. Otherwise, he's going to become obsolete.
Kareem Cooper says if we shy away from the flaws in Shakespeare, his work becomes hard to relate to. That's part of why she started the Globe's Shakespeare and Race Festival in 2018. The festival brings together actors and academics to talk about race in Shakespeare.
There was a lot of bewilderment on the part of the public because nobody had really had a public conversation about Shakespeare and race.
She faced a lot of backlash.
You have people constantly accusing you of just doing it for tokenism or that it's driven by your own identity or that it doesn't have any real validity or we're trying to cancel Shakespeare. So that makes it difficult. And that is a backlash to the Black Lives Matter movement.
Kareem Cooper wants to keep Shakespeare in schools and in the imagination, but she says we should do so without blind worship. Like the poet Elizabeth Sylvia, who saw value in reading all of Shakespeare's plays.
Run into the marketplace with me, mothers of this world, for I have seen you weeping at the dry-edged river and wading from the boats.
Her poem Unbind is inspired by Constance from Shakespeare's play King John. Constance's son has been abducted, but the male characters keep asking her to fix her hair. Shakespeare may be onto the idea of tone policing.
Because our hair makes fire of the wind, and all around us, knots are come undone, and birth instead of death is thundering.
As a person in the contemporary world, Sylvia says, it can seem like the world is crashing down around you. But the women of Shakespeare never seem to give up in any circumstance. They're powerful.
If I be waspish, best beware my sting.
The Shakespearean world, like ours, is just a mess. For Philosophy Talk, I'm Holly Jim McDeed.
Want to hear more? You can find the complete episode on iTunes Music, or for unlimited listening, become a subscriber at philosophytalk.org.